The subject of our talk this morning is the cross, not a figment of the imagination, nor is it, as it is titled in this booklet, a crucifixion. In English, a fiction means something that a man just dreams up in his own mind. The correct English word for the crucifixion of Jesus is at the top there, spelled as it is, C-R-U-C-I-F-I-X-I-O-N, crucifixion. But Ahmadidat plays on that and says crucifixion, meaning something that's just a figment of the imagination, something somebody dreamed up. And the purpose of this talk is just to look firstly at the subject of the crucifixion and look at what Islam teaches about it. We'll critically analyze the Muslim belief in the fact that Christ was not crucified. I will deal briefly with this booklet and some of the other arguments that Muslims bring up, and then we will conclude by looking at the subject just in general perspective. As you know, the Christian Bible is totally emphatic about what happened to Jesus on that Friday afternoon. Acts 4 verse 10 states quite plainly, Apostle Peter speaking to the Jewish people of his time, "By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead." The Bible teaches that quite plainly. You can't get around the fact that the crucifixion and the resurrection from the dead are the plain teachings of the Christian scripture regarding the actual event that happened that day and what happened to Jesus. You find the same thing taught again in Matthew 28 verses 5 to 7. The angel appearing to the woman, Mary Magdalene, and others said, "I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. For he is not here, for he has risen. As he said, come see the place where he lay, then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead." The Bible is quite plain about this subject. Christ was crucified, put on a cross, he died, and on the third day he rose from the dead. Now, the Quran is equally emphatic about the crucifixion. It denies it outright. Only in one place, in Surah 4, verse 157, it says, "They say we killed the Messiah, Jesus, the son of Mary." Then the Quran uses the words, "Wama kotuluhu, wama sulabuhu." But what? Did they crucify him? Did they kill him? No, it says, "Walakin shubbiha lahum," but so it was made to appear to them. And the Quran goes on to say in that text that this is something about which the people who follow Jesus, namely us the Christians, are in a dispute. But verily they did not kill him, but Allah raised him up to himself. That's the only passage in the Quran that actually deals with the crucifixion. There is not a hint in the Quran that Muhammad ever knew about our belief that the crucifixion of Jesus was not just an unfortunate event, a tragic end to his life, but that it was actually the means of our salvation. Christian belief in the atonement is nowhere even vaguely referred to in the Quran. It seems that Muhammad only got the impression that the crucifixion was something the Jews charged against Jesus. And he obviously had heard and he knew that the Christians believed that Jesus Christ was still alive and that he was in heaven, and he must have been somewhat confused about this whole subject. And so you have a rather vague statement, an emphatic denial. He was not crucified, he was not killed, but then you have this vague statement, "but so it was made to appear to them." But that image was given to them that he was crucified. And then it says, no, Allah raised him up to himself. Me being a lawyer in my country, if somebody makes a case against you, you can't just simply barely deny what the man charges. In other words, if I say you owe me money, you owe me so much, 50 rand, and I produce, or say in German currency, 50 Deutsche Mark, and I produce an invoice for work I've done for you, in my country, you can't simply, in defending a case like that, say, "I deny that I owe the man money." You've got to give facts. You've got to justify your defense. And it's the same with the Quran. If the Quran had just said, "No, he wasn't crucified. No, he wasn't killed. Full stop. Nothing more." Well, you accept that the Quran is denying it, but then it begs the question, well, then what happened to him? You can't just leave it at the point of a bare denial. You've got to ask, well, what then was the alternative? What are your facts? What does the Quran teach? What alternative facts does it give? And you would think that if this book was the word of God, as the Muslims believe it to be, that it would have plainly stated what happened to Jesus, because before the time of Muhammad and Islam, it was widely believed, it was accepted historically, that Christ had been crucified. Even if people, and by this I include the Romans, the Jews, and the others who do not actually believe in the Christian faith, even if they did not accept the resurrection of Christ, they certainly accepted the crucifixion, as they do to this day. Even Western scholars, even unbelievers worldwide who question the resurrection and so many other things in the Christian faith, accept that one of the most deliberate facts of the history of the life of Jesus Christ is that he was crucified. Now the Quran says he wasn't. He wasn't killed, he wasn't crucified. And then you say, well, what happened to him? Now you would think that if God was the author of this book, that he would have stated plainly exactly what happened to him. But he doesn't. You have to, as I say, and in law, you have to give an alternative. You have to produce a proper, well-based factual defense if you want to succeed. If an accuser or a plaintiff in law says, that's my case, if you want to defend that case, you have to say, this is my case. That's what really happened. You can't just say it didn't happen. So one says, then what does the Quran teach? What really happened to Jesus? And it doesn't say. Just gives a vague statement. It was made to appear to them that he was crucified. Oh, that's a tantalizing statement, that, because it has so many implications. It could mean any number of things. What does that statement mean? And the Quran goes no further. That's all it says. It was made to appear to them. So, but the Quran says he was raised up. Rafa'ah. And even that statement is vague, because it can be taken in so many different ways. The word rafa'ah in Arabic basically means to take something up, to lift it, to raise it. And Muslim scholars are in some confusion even about what that means. But basically, what the Muslims have come to believe is that Jesus Christ was raised up to heaven without ever dying. That just before he was about to be arrested, Allah lifted him up, raised him up bodily into heaven, and he went up alive into heaven. And then, of course, you've got to deal with that statement that it was made to appear to them that he was crucified. So the Muslim world has developed what they call the substitution theory. And they say, no, someone else was made to look like Jesus and was crucified in his place. Now that sounds very strange. Somebody else, his face was changed. Allah changed the features of his face. And this man looked like Jesus, and so they arrested that person instead, and they thought it was Jesus, and they crucified him. But that's not what the Quran says. It doesn't say anything like that. It just has a vague statement saying, well, it was made to appear to them that he was crucified. But that belief for centuries became the sort of standard belief of the Muslim world. There was a lot of speculation among the Muslims, and that's all there can be, is speculation, as to who it was that was crucified. You see, once you say somebody else, some innocent bystander was made to look like Jesus, then of course, as we'll see as I get into it, that raises some awkward questions as to why God would victimize somebody innocently and let that person be crucified instead. It doesn't sound right. So they try to get around that, and they say, no, it was Judas Iscariot. And once you say it was Judas, then the guy got what he deserved, sort of thing. Or else they say it was Simon of Cyrene, or it was someone else, one of the Roman soldiers. But they've got no idea as to what really happened to Jesus. Islam has no reasonable alternative to the crucifixion as we have it. We have a clear statement. It was Christ who was crucified. He spoke from the cross. He spoke seven times from the cross. You can clearly see it was him speaking each time. He died. He was buried. The Bible goes into detail as to how he was buried, where he was buried, who was there, what happened on the third day, who saw him, what he said, where he went after that. That's all very clearly stated. But listen to how some Muslim writers write about this Surah 157. Maudoodi, Maulana Maudoodi in Pakistan, recent well-known Muslim scholar there, provocative scholar, says in his commentary, The Meaning of the Quran, page 390, After this, God, who can do any and everything he wills, raised Jesus to himself and rescued him from crucifixion. And the one who was crucified afterwards was somehow or other taken for Christ. There's your vagueness. Somehow or other taken for Christ. Then you find again Maulana Daryabadi, another Pakistani scholar and theologian, in his commentary, Tafsir, at the bottom of his translation of the Quran, volume 1, page 96, says, "It was not Jesus who was executed, but another, who was miraculously substituted." And then he says, "How and in what way is another question, and is not touched upon in the Quran for him?" It's another question, quite right, and quite wisely, the Maulana makes no attempt to give an answer. It's a question that defies an answer in Islam. You cannot say in Islam what really happened to Jesus. Everything Muslims believe about the ultimate destiny of Jesus that day is pure speculation, because the Quran is so vague that you just can't define it. But if we look at it, we can ask some very awkward questions about Muslim belief in the substitution of Jesus by someone else. Firstly, what sort of a God do the Muslims believe in, who takes a bystander, someone who is there, and imprints the face of Jesus on that person, so that person is crucified instead? It begs the question, why should anyone have been crucified? If it was the intention of God that he should rescue Jesus, well, fine, rescue him by all means. But then why allow the scene to continue unnecessarily? If you've taken him away, all right, you've rescued him. Why now victimize a bystander, make that person look like Jesus, so that people crucify that person instead? That just doesn't sound like the way that God would act. Sounds most unlikely. Secondly, if it is God's intention to save Jesus, there must be easier ways of doing so. We know from the Gospels that when Jesus was only a baby, and only not even 2 years old, that Herod already had it in mind to try and find him and kill him. There again you have a conspiracy to kill Jesus, as you had at the time of the crucifixion. And what did God do to protect him? Do the drastic step of wrenching him up off the earth and taking him to heaven? One doesn't see that sort of thing happening every day. No, he didn't. He just simply sent an angel who said to Joseph, "Take the child and go into Egypt and remain there until I tell you." And when Herod died, then the angel appeared to him again and said, "Now go back into the land of Israel, because those who sought the child's life are now dead." Simple as that. One would have thought that something equally simple would have been done at the time when Jesus was about to be crucified. If God wanted to save him, he could have just simply sent an angel and said, "Go away from here." Needless to say, the Bible shows that Jesus, in fact, was well aware of what was about to befall him. It says that again and again. And he himself could have avoided the arrest and the trial and everything that followed with ease if he'd wanted to. The next question that rises is this. If the person who was substituted for Jesus was made to look like Jesus, the question is, did he also think he was Jesus? Was he made to think he was Jesus? Because the Bible says that whoever was crucified spoke plainly from the cross. And when he saw the mother of Jesus standing below him, John 19, verses 26 to 27, we read that Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, believed to be John, and he said to her, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Son, behold your mother." And from that moment on, the disciple took his mother into his own home and cared for her. Well, the person speaking from the cross not only looked like Jesus, but even spoke like Jesus. And it's unthinkable that if somebody else had been impersonated to be made to look like Jesus, that he would have even thought he was Jesus. The next thing that rises is the question as to what God's purpose or intention was in all this, if what the Muslims say is true. Because there at the feet of the cross, at the foot of the cross, we hear in the Bible were four people. One was his mother. Then there was his closest male disciple, the one whom he loved, John. His most devoted female disciple, Mary Magdalene, and one of the aunts of Jesus. And what sort of a God is this who leaves the mother of this man, plus his two closest companions, male and female, standing at the foot of the cross, watching in agony, believing that it really is Jesus who's being crucified, and going through all the agony of actually experiencing his death and all that was involved in crucifixion, which was a horrible experience for anybody. That begs the next question. And this is perhaps the most dramatic question. A whole Christian faith arose out of the belief that Christ was crucified and rose again. We believe it. More than a billion people in the world today, 1,000 million today, believe that Jesus Christ was crucified. Right throughout history, whole nations have based their faith on the crucifixion, the resurrection of Christ. If this was something which was actually manipulated and contrived, conspired by God himself, that the man who was crucified is made to look like Jesus, can you blame anybody for thinking it was Jesus? Surely it's logical. If they saw a person and they knew so well and saw him hanging on the cross and he looked just like the man they'd known, can you blame the Christian people for believing what they do? Is God the author of a hoax, this Christian faith of ours? Is it just one big piece of strange concoction, some strange hoax that God was the cause of? Did we just find that today we believe something that's a delusion, and it was God's own delusion? God caused the impersonation of a man to look like Jesus? That theory just doesn't stand any test of critical analysis. It not only doesn't look good historically, it tells you things about God that no rational human being, no man of faith could ever believe or accept. Yet the Muslims implicitly accept it, that if they were to think about it, it just doesn't hold water. This idea that someone else was put in the place of Jesus and crucified in his place is just so obscure, so unlikely, that we don't even have to give it very serious consideration. You see, you have a further difficulty in the Quran, which Muslims, because they've been brought up and programmed and almost brainwashed to think the way they do, they don't pick it up unless they think seriously about it. But you have here a statement in the Quran in Surah 4, 157 to 158, that he was not killed. Was he killed? No, the implication is not at all. God raised him up to himself. So you get the impression from that text that, well, he was saved. He was taken alive. He was taken into heaven. That's how his life ended. But then you find other texts in the Quran all over the book that actually talk about the death of Jesus. Constantly you read passages in the Quran that mention the death. One in particular that states it very, very plainly, you can't get around it, is Surah 19, verse 33. Where Jesus is recorded as saying, "So peace is on me the day I was born, the day that I die, and the day that I shall be raised up to life again." وَيَوْمَ أَمُوتُ in the Quran can't be interpreted in any other way than the obvious meaning of the expression, the day of my death. The day that I will die. So the Muslim scholars in the early days had a problem because the Quran talks a lot about the death of Jesus. And yet the other portion of the Quran says, no, he was raised up without dying. And there's an apparent contradiction. And just a little bit earlier in the same surah, you read John the Baptist saying the same thing, "Peace on me the day I was born and the day I die and the day I'll be raised to life again." So now somehow the Muslims have got to fit in the death and the resurrection of Jesus somewhere into their understanding of his life and what happened. So they teach to this day that no, Christ will come back into this world. There's no Quranic teaching that emphatically states that he will come back. There's a verse, Surah 43, verse 61, one vague text again, very, very uncertain text, which just says that, in fact, the Arabic is so vague, it just says, there, verily there is knowledge of the hour. That's all. There is an ilm, a knowledge of the hour. But it's put in a context where quite a bit is said about Jesus, that he could be the subject of that knowledge. He could be the knowledge of the hour, or the sign of the hour. So out of that text and out of Islamic hadith and so on has risen this idea, and from what they've learned from the Christians, that Jesus Christ will come back to the world, and they've embellished that with a lot of teaching that he's going to get married, he's going to have children, he's going to break all the crosses, he's going to kill all the pigs, and then he's going to die. Oh, they've got his death fitted in. And then he'll be raised on the judgment day. I don't know where all that arose from. I think the idea that Jesus is going to get married when he comes back is a misunderstanding of Revelation, which talks about the bride, the wife of the Lamb being made ready for her, for him. I think that's where they get that strange idea from. But nonetheless, they've managed to fit in the death of Jesus there, although the Quran says nothing about the fact that Jesus is yet to die. The other texts in the Quran that hint about the death of Jesus all put it in the past tense. They all talk about it as something that has already happened. But I am quite amazed at the way Muslim writers take this subject. They're really confused. One after the other, they struggle with these texts that talk about the death of Jesus. Yusuf Ali, in his English translation of the Quran, commenting on Surah 19, verse 33, says, Christ was not crucified. There's that bare denial. That's easy. Surah 4, 157. But he says, those who believe that he never died should ponder over this verse. That's the one where he says that peace on me the day I die. And he offers no further explanation or thought. He just says you should think about that verse. Obviously he's done some thinking about it and came to no definite conclusion. One of the things that to me, oh, that the ultimate tragedy of Islam is that it gets so close on this issue. It gets tantalizingly close. You know, if the Muslim said, your whole belief in the crucifixion is something that we don't accept at all. Jesus just lived a normal life and he carried on preaching and he was a good Muslim prophet and he just died a natural death like other prophets did. Well, you'd be prepared to perhaps say, okay, our beliefs are radically different. You reject the crucifixion. Okay, we'll take that at face value. But you know, they don't reject the crucifixion as entirely as they make out. Because they accept, clear, that there was an intention to crucify Jesus. They accept that. They accept that the people who were opposed to him intended to dispose of him by crucifixion. They accept that. They accept that Jesus was in a certain place and that people were coming on that specific day, that Good Friday, to come and arrest him. They accept that. They accept that someone was crucified. That's also accepted. There was a crucifixion. The Muslims do not deny that. We've got that point of agreement between us. There was a crucifixion. Somebody was crucified, and we also agree with them in this basic belief of theirs that the person who was crucified to all intents and purposes looked like Jesus, was deliberately made to look like him. So the Muslims can't just say, oh, we deny the crucifixion entirely. They don't. They go a long way. They say, we acknowledge a crucifixion. We even acknowledge that somebody who is express image of Jesus was crucified that day on that cross and died. The only thing they deny, they just can't accept, was Jesus himself. They come so close. It's one of the things about Satan when he misleads people. You know, if you see someone aiming at a target with a rifle, if you want him to miss the target, you don't try and encourage him to turn around and shoot in the other direction. He's got more sense than that. When he's not looking, you just twist the sights on his rifle. So he aims at the target, and he just misses it. What he's missed, that's all that matters. Doesn't matter that he came that close, as long as he's missed, that's all that matters. And that, in Islam, that is where Satan has so cleverly allowed almost the whole truth to survive. The target is there, and allows the Muslim to aim at it, to accept a crucifixion, a Christ crucified, someone looking like him. But then the bullseye is not there, Jesus himself. And with that goes the whole belief in the atonement and the whole of our salvation out the door. And it's sad that there is such a situation that they come so close. But when you are speaking to Muslims who just tell you outright, we deny the crucifixion of Jesus, he was never crucified, challenge them. And so you don't deny it quite so emphatically. According to Islam, you admit just about everything. You admit there was a crucifixion. You admit the man who was crucified looked like Jesus, just that you can't accept that it was actually Jesus himself. Another verse which also teaches much the same thing regarding the death of Jesus is this one. Allah speaking says, O Jesus, I will take you and raise you to myself and clear you of the falsehoods of those who blaspheme, and so on. And the original words for I will take you, see that's vague, it's put in this English translation of Yusuf Ali very vaguely, are inni mutawafika. And that is a word that can actually mean I will cause you to die and I will take you to myself. It comes very close to the Christian belief that he died and he rose again. Abdul Haq, Christian writer, says the Quran is quite ambiguous on the subject of the death of Jesus. And one can even move on to another Muslim commentator, also quoted by Abdul Haq, Ar-Razi, in centuries past, says on this verse, he says, what Muhammad tells us in the heaven-inspired Quran, we must simply accept as the word of God. Surrounded as it is with difficulties, and it is the Lord alone who can give you true direction. You see a hopeless confusion on the part of Muslim writers. The honest ones, the ones who accept that the Quran is vague, seems to contradict itself. They say, well, you must just accept it. We don't understand it. We accept it's difficult. And we just have to look to God for direction. Another one, Hussein, in his book, The City of Wrong, page 222, says of the ultimate fate of Jesus, God raised him unto him in a way we can leave unexplained, among the several mysteries we've taken for granted on faith alone. So he admits it, and it's there. The Muslims have no fact to lean on as far as the crucifixion of Jesus goes. We have the facts. We have them, as I'll show at the end of the story, so finely detailed, so remarkably detailed, even in prophecy, centuries beforehand. But he says, with us as Muslims, what happened to Jesus is a mystery that we have to take on faith alone. We have to leave. We can leave it unexplained. What he really means is we have to leave it unexplained. We can't explain it. We can't answer it.